Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day.
Hello and welcome to The Breakdown, brought to you by The Nation Magazine and TheNation.com. I'm Chris Hayes, Washington editor of The Nation. Each week here on The Breakdown, we take your questions via Twitter at Chris L. Hayes or via email at TheBreakdown@TheNation.com. The way it works is this. You send us questions about what's perplexing you this week in Washington, and we try to break it down.
Will I run to the rock? Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord.
Hello and welcome back to The Breakdown. This is week 30, episode 30 in a collector series. As you hear this, I am on the Nation cruise off the eastern coast of the United States, and I'm there with my colleague John Nichols, who's about to join me in one moment. He is going to answer a question which I am taking the chair's prerogative to ask myself because I'm curious about this. And that question for this week's breakdown is, why is Russ Feingold, senator of Wisconsin, in such trouble? There's been a number of polls that have had him either quite behind or neck and neck with his Republican challenger. And so to answer that question, John Nichols is on the line. John is a Washington correspondent for The Nation. He's the author of The Genius of Impeachment, contributing writer to numerous publications. He also lives in Wisconsin and knows Wisconsin politics just about as well as anyone. So John, thanks for coming on The Breakdown.
It's great to be on with you, Chris.
All right, so let's maybe first talk about the challenger to Feingold, where he comes from, what his background is, and how he's in a position to make a credible run at Feingold.
Well, in many ways, Russ Feingold's challenger this year is the perfect opponent. He's a guy named Ron Johnson, and he has never run for public office before. He has very, very little public record. He was involved in some school board issues in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. But essentially, he's a wealthy businessman. Now, his storyline, of course, is that he's an anti-government guy who made it on his own and all that. In fact, he married into a lot of money and took over his wife's family business. But be that as it may, he gets to put successful businessman on his resume and talk about how he has created jobs. And he's putting about $15 million of his own money behind that message. And it's a very interesting campaign that he's run. He's essentially wrapping a very traditional kind of Wall Street corporate message in a lot of Tea Party rhetoric. He's appeared at Tea Party rallies. I don't think he's actually particularly close to the Tea Party in any real sense, but he's picked up the rhetoric well, talks a lot about freedom, talks a lot about the Constitution, and, you know, looks the part. So he's proven to be an effective opponent.
One of the things that struck me when I spent some time in Madison is that Feingold, almost more than any other member of the United States Senate, maybe with the exception of Bernie Sanders, had managed to kind of be unapologetically who he was, stand on principle and pursue what his vision of the right thing to do was. He wasn't operating a state that was massively and overwhelmingly Democratic, and yet he managed to get reelected several times, even taking votes like being the one person to vote against the Patriot Act. Why is that now not working for him? Or has something changed in his ability to kind of manage to sell voters on essentially his integrity more than necessarily what his particular politics are?
Two words, Chris. Barack Obama.
Interesting.
The fundamental reality is that Russ Feingold has always done very, very well when he is separate both from the Republicans, and he's always very few issues in which you would think of him as a Republican-style pal, but also separate from the Dems. And it's interesting that the toughest time that Russ Feingold had politically before this was in 1998. During the Clinton presidency. And I think that Russ Feingold's maverick approach does best when people don't have a unpopular Democratic president to attach him to. And unfortunately, in Wisconsin, Obama, who was very, very popular in 2008, won the primary overwhelmingly and then won the general with roughly 57% of the vote, just in the scheme of Wisconsin, a very, very big victory, has lost a lot of appeal, if you will. He's got a lot of negatives, and the polling suggests people are particularly dissatisfied with him on economic issues. And frankly, what Ron Johnson has done from the start of the campaign is say again and again and again, Russ Feingold is an extension of Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid. You and I, as people write about politics and write about Washington, may know that's false, but when it's delivered, you know, like 20 times a day via a massive advertising campaign, it begins to resonate.
You mentioned the economy, and I wanted to maybe end up there, since that seems to be the thing that's driving so much of the electoral dynamics we're facing. What is the economic situation like in Wisconsin? You know, one of the weird things about the Great Recession, as we call it, is it's incredibly unevenly distributed. It's unevenly distributed along racial lines, along socioeducational lines, and along geographic lines. You have unemployment in, for instance, North Dakota, less than 4%. So what do things look like from the state of Wisconsin, and how much does the local experience of the ongoing economic crisis affect this race?
Well, in a sense, Chris, what you're talking about is sort of brought down to the base in Wisconsin, because it's a very uneven recession. Overall, the state has lower unemployment than nationally. It's roughly at about 8.5, 8.6% unemployment compared to closer to 10% nationally. But that's not even. Wisconsin has some areas, Madison, which is a university, state government, high-tech town, and frankly a real base for Feingold support, that's doing very, very well economically. And there's a few other communities that would fall into that category. But the Reagan Democrat communities, if I can make it so simplistic, are the ones that are really hurting. Industrial towns, factory towns, traditional union communities like Racine, Kenosha, Janesville, Beloit, have experienced just brutal batterings as a result, frankly, of trade policies. Now, the irony, of course, is that Russ Feingold's been the steadiest opponent of corporate-sponsored free trade deals in the Senate. But the reality is that his opposition to that comes up in clash with the reality that, you know, those trade deals have wiped a lot of people out. And there's a lot of anger on the ground. There are a lot of Democrats, or Democratic-leaning voters, who are frankly incredibly discouraged. And let me give you a factoid here that's frankly a brutal one. Barack Obama likes to come to places like Wisconsin and talk about how he saved the auto industry. Now, Wisconsin's a mini auto state, and those of us who know the Midwest so know that Michigan's the big auto state, Ohio's the other big one, but that Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, even Iowa to some extent, have a lot of auto. And during Barack Obama's presidency, despite the fact that he talks about having saved the auto industry, Wisconsin's two major auto plants closed, a very large GM plant in Janesville and a substantial Chrysler engine plant in Kenosha. And so the Obama presidency does not seem to be delivering for the people who elected Obama. And unfortunately, Russ Feingold is suffering a ricochet effect right now. He's taking some of that hit. And a final component here, we've talked a lot, you know, the economy is real and it's a real factor. The other thing that has changed, and because that was your core question, is that the media has changed a lot in Wisconsin. Wisconsin used to have a lot of strong regional, local dailies. Most of them have been incredibly battered, and TV stations have a lot less staff. Politics isn't covered the way it was 15 or 20 years ago. And as a result, Russ Feingold doesn't have the kind of base of understanding of the political dynamics that he had when he went into politics and even when he was running for re-election in 1998. Today, there's so little Washington coverage in Wisconsin that it is possible for an opponent with a lot of money, like a Ron Johnson, backed up by a lot of national corporate money, to be able to deliver the message, quote-unquote, that Russ Feingold's just another Democrat and get away with it. And I think that, in a sense, we need to understand this, that Russ Feingold may be one of the first victims of the fundamentally changing media landscape that we live in, and that there are no longer goalkeepers, there's no longer referees out there, and as a result, it becomes very, very possible to deliver a negative message, even if it's false, and succeed.
Well, that's dispiriting. John Nichols actually has written about Russ Feingold in the previous issue of The Nation magazine. You can get that on newsstands or go to thenation.com. John, thanks so much for joining me on The Breakdown.
It's a terrific pleasure. Good to be with you, Chris.
The Breakdown is a weekly production of The Nation magazine and thenation.com. New audiocasts are posted each Friday at thenation.com and available in iTunes. The Breakdown was produced by Laura Stampler and yours truly. Senior producers of The Nation are Emily Douglas and Ben Wiskita. Comments and feedback should be sent to thebreakdown@thenation.com.
Oh, cinnamon, where you gonna run to?
gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day.